You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's Hour 1 on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thank you for letting us be part of your daily routine. You can watch on Peacock, our great TV partners. You can download the app, watch for free, and our radio affiliates around the country, numbering over 370 cities. You can get in touch with the program, dial us up, email, tweet, all the above. McLovin has the responsibility of coming up with a poll question. We'll have a play of the day, and of course, we have a few stats of the day as well. The great Ron Jaworski, who was on the call last night for the Eagles' loss against Seattle, the former Eagles quarterback, will join us coming up a little bit later on. We'll check in with the Ravens as well. When they came up with the expression any given Sunday about the NFL, they had no idea about 2020 when you think about it. Get ready for any given Wednesday. The league moved last Thursday Steelers-Ravens game to this Wednesday afternoon because of COVID issues. Now, I get it. This isn't an easy situation. The league might have to do a little better job communicating with their strategy because right now it just feels like they're making it up as they go along. And as fans, I think we've been very lenient with these leagues. We give them a pass for moving their schedules around, or at least we should. It's a tough job. But the NFL's been all over the place the last couple of weeks, and it's not entirely clear why they're in such a hurry here. You do have a little breathing room. Every other league pushed things back a little bit. The NFL has room to do it, and apparently they're okay with a Wednesday afternoon game featuring a depleted Baltimore squad. And hopefully it's worth it as the season stays on track and is competitively fair. And really, that's the important part of everything I'm talking about right now. Is it competitively fair, or at least relatively close to where it's supposed to be? And I don't know if you can say that going into this game Wednesday afternoon. And if you're wondering why Wednesday afternoon, NBC has their holiday special coming up on Wednesday night. And nothing gets in the way of Mariah Carey and Michael Bublé or football. What do you want? I'm going to go Michael Bublé every single day. But that's coming up with NBC on Wednesday night. NBC will carry the game on Wednesday afternoon. This program brought to you by the great folks at Masterclass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. You want to learn about shooting from Steph Curry? You can. Tennis from Serena Williams. Comedy from Steve Martin. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, you get another annual membership for free. What a great Christmas gift. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick, masterclass.com/Patrick. I have a source in the NFL, works for the NFL, and I reached out yesterday and I said, do the Ravens actually feel like they're being treated unfairly? And my source wrote me back, classic hypocrisy. They won't be vigilant about the protocols on the front end, then cry that they're being screwed on the back end for consequences of these violations. John Harbaugh's coaching staff responsible for the outbreak there. Nobody to blame but themselves. So you have this game. We won't have Lamar Jackson. It felt like the NFL was going to try to push this off as long as they could to make sure you had Lamar Jackson on display against the undefeated Steelers, but that's not going to happen. We'll keep an eye on this. Right now, we're supposed to have football on Wednesday afternoon. But that seems like a long time from right now. Yeah, Seton.
Doesn't it feel more like the Steelers are being treated unfairly?
Yes.
Than the Ravens?
Yes, but that's what my source said. It's John Harbaugh, the hypocrisy that you're a victim, but you created this, and now the NFL has had to adjust their schedule. We're playing a Wednesday afternoon game. Not fair to the Steelers. Again, this is the second time. Yeah, the Steelers and the Titans. Not fair to the Steelers. Yeah, Paulie.
Imagine you're Robert Griffin III. You're finally back in a big game against the Steelers. You get the ball. You're the quarterback. You call your friends back home. I'm the starting quarterback in the NFL again. Really? That's great, Rob. What time are you playing? 3:40 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Be there.
What? But wait, I got to work. Huh? I know, but the game's at 3:40 in the afternoon. The Ravens-Steelers game will be the 40th NFL game all time played on a Wednesday. But just the second one in the last 70 years. The Cowboys and Giants kicked off the 2012 season. That was on a Wednesday instead of Thursday to avoid a conflict with President Obama's speech at the Democratic National Convention that year. Yes, Todd.
But on the bright side, West Coast NFL fans can have their lunch with some football at 12:40 in the afternoon. It's perfect. They get a little break from work, watch some football.
I'm waiting for one of these days we have an NFL game in the morning during the week. Like it's, I don't know, 10:15 and we're going to have Saints and the Buccaneers. Like we're, it feels like we're headed to, you have a little bit of breathing room here and they're not using it. I said this before, and I know that it falls on deaf ears, but I would allow these teams to hit the reset. You know, Denver to hit the reset. The Titans, it feels like they've moved on. You know, that there's progress there. The Ravens, allow them to hit the reset button so everybody understands. Either that or hand Baltimore a forfeit. Whatever it is where you're going to get everybody's attention to understand what's at stake here in the NFL. Granted, we're dealing in a vacuum here where we got to get our sports in, everything else going on in the world, but we got to get our football in. We're going to play at 3:40 on a Wednesday afternoon. It feels like the NFL is making this up as they go along. And to me, that's dangerous, reckless as well. You can extend the regular season. You can add another week. You can push the Super Bowl back. All the scenarios I told you about at the beginning of the year. All the things that were being discussed. Because if you'll go back to when we first started the season, I told you week 12, week 13, somewhere in there, that's when the leagues were worried about these players on teams that had no chance of making the playoffs. And they weren't going to follow protocols. And here we are. Right around that mark. And they can push the Super Bowl back. They discussed a contingency plan. And we're playing a game on Wednesday afternoon. It's great for me. It gives me something to talk about, something to watch. I just want to be fair to the NFL, competitive balance, to the Steelers. You know, the Ravens created this. The Broncos created this. The Titans created this. At some point, the commissioner has got to come down harder on a team. The Raiders created a situation. At some point, you have to say it's more than just a $500,000 fine. That doesn't impact the players. A seventh-round draft pick. That doesn't impact the players. Players and the staff, you know, they have to be held accountable here. And right now, I don't think they are. Because whatever it is, we're going to cram this game in. All right, we'll get to last night's game because there were certainly a lot of storylines coming out of that. Ron Jaworski was working that. The Seahawks beat the Eagles 23-17. And, of course, there's a lot of questions about now where do the Eagles go? What do you do with Carson Wentz? I thought Jalen Hurts was going to play a whole lot more. And then I talked to somebody last night who said, well, why would you put in Jalen Hurts behind an offensive line that leads the league in sacks? You also don't have a lot of weapons. Alshon Jeffrey should not be in a football uniform. And you're going to send him out there. He had no OTAs. He really, and there's no preseason. And you're going to put Jalen Hurts into that situation? The only reason why I sent a text back to a friend and said, but I got to get Carson Wentz out of that right now. I got to let him stand on the sidelines. Maybe, you know, remove himself from being the storyline here. Do I run the risk Jalen Hurts plays well and I'm stuck with that Carson Wentz contract? Yes, I do. But if I'm thinking about the long-term preservation of Carson Wentz, I would not have him start these games. But you're drafting Hurts in the second round. You didn't draft him to be, what, a wildcat package? I don't think so. Second round, you're not drafting somebody who's going to be in the wildcat. Draft a lineman in the second round, not Jalen Hurts. I like Jalen Hurts, made something of his college career when he went to Oklahoma, proved that he could be a quarterback who can throw and run. But I got to let him absorb what the NFL is all about. And that means, you know, OTAs and preseason, not, hey, go out there and learn on the job. I mean, Carson Wentz has not played well at all. But I went back and looked at some of the numbers. When he was successful in 2017 and on his way to being the MVP, there are similar numbers in there as far as the pressures, the number of times he got hit, the number of sacks there, the number of interceptions there. You know, this is a team that doesn't have a good offensive line. And any successful quarterback start with their offensive line. Tell me how good their offensive line is. It's really rare when you go, he's great, but their offensive line is horrible. You know, Joe Burrow was trying to, disprove that theory by that offensive line is horrible, but he's still great. It eventually caught up with him. But I think if you're going to put Jalen Hurts in there, I don't know what results you're going to expect. We always love the backup quarterback. You know, the Eagles should have had a true backup quarterback. And then you have Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is not Tua Tagovailoa. He's not Justin Herbert. He's not Joe Burrow. But you're expecting to have some success like that. And it's not with a good team right now. And you really have a big problem there. Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, and the media is just moving in for the kill. Here's Doug Peterson talking about the offensive struggles of the Eagles after last night's loss.
Offensively, we've battled with a lot of injury, a lot of different moving parts up front with the offensive line, guys in and out. You know, it's just we haven't had the consistency and the continuity that you would like week in and week out. You look at offenses around the league that have stayed together and have stayed healthy, there's continuity and there's consistency there, and we just haven't had that this season. And it's something that we don't make excuses for it. It's where we are, and we have to get better.
Here's Carson Wentz on the possibility of being benched.
I said it last week, you know, this is what you sign up for. And you know, as a quarterback, ever since you're a kid, you know, you're prepared for any of those. Nothing's ever guaranteed. And so for me, I don't think about that, though. I just try and go out and be the best player I can be in practice, prepare my tail off, compete my tail off, and, hopefully we can get this thing turned around. But I don't think about those things. I'm going to give it everything I got every time I step on the field.
You know, you can't say he's not tough, but he goes out there and a quarterback's confidence is one of those intangibles. You know it when you see it or you feel it, but you can also know it when you or see it or feel it when you're watching somebody who doesn't have confidence out there. Carson Wentz takes that snap and doesn't have confidence. And that is something that will eat away at you. It ruined David Carr's career. David Carr got crushed his first couple of games or seasons in the NFL with the Texans. He got sacked more than anybody has ever gotten sacked. And I thought he was a tremendously talented quarterback, but he never got it back. Quarterbacks lose their confidence. You see this in all walks of life with sports. You know, the guy doesn't, he's not confident, he can't make his shots anymore. Somebody standing over a putt, they don't have confidence anymore. Like, you start to play mind games with yourself. And that's one thing that you can't overcome. You can overcome a knee injury, you know, a shoulder injury. But when your mind is the one that is damaged here, and you're trying to figure out, like, you know, he's seeing more defensive, you know, he probably thinks there's 15 defensive players out there. And not, I don't know how much blame you can put on him. I'll put a lot of it on him. But I'm going to put it on Doug Peterson as well. And Jaws will join us coming up because he played the position. It's not that I can go, well, Carson Wentz is just learning. What is he, 27 years of age? You got 5 years being in this organization? You got that big contract? Now they're stuck with that. Seattle picking up the win. And they needed the win, obviously, with the Rams losing to the 49ers. You know, this is going to be down to the wire, it feels like, in the NFC West. But Seattle gets the win, and DK Metcalf was, once again, that's an impressive talent that you have here. But can we stop with this? Oh, everybody passed on DK Metcalf. Didn't DK Metcalf get hurt in college? Did he get, like, seriously injured in college? He had a serious neck injury, right? Now, there were teams that took him off their draft boards because of that. It's not like everybody, like, this isn't the finished product that we saw at Ole Miss. Even at the combine, remember that stupid three-cone drill? He ran one of the slowest ones ever. I think Tom Brady's time was quicker. And we thought, okay, he's top heavy, he's physically imposing, but there's no elasticity with him. You know, he's just a big, bulky guy. He can run straight ahead and he can overpower you. It's not like everybody went, nope, I don't want that kind of receiver on my team. He was a different player back then. Oh, they passed up on him. Yes, they did. And there was a reason or reasons why they did. It felt like he was a workout wonder. You saw all the pictures, his shirt off. You're going, oh, my God. And then he gets on the field and you go, all right. He's okay. Got moments here. And he apparently was using a slight by Jim Schwartz. He's the defensive coordinator with the Eagles. Jim Schwartz was the coach in Detroit with Calvin Johnson. And here is the question from a reporter to DK Metcalf.
What's your mindset going into a game when you know or when you feel like you're going to see a lot of opposing teams' number one cornerback? What's your mindset going into it?
I'm happy. I'm getting a little respect, but you know I still got work to do. One of the defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So. You know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jim Schwartz was correct. Because if DK Metcalf is already where Megatron is, then he'll go into the Hall of Fame this year. Right? Megatron is up for the Hall of Fame. DK Metcalf is not where Calvin Johnson was. He has the capability. I think he's more like Terrell Owens than Calvin Johnson, but... You know, did he use this as a slight? Maybe. Gosh, if he's at this point, it took Jordan a long time before he started using these artificial slights. Jim Schwartz is giving him the ultimate compliment. I was with Calvin Johnson. You're not there yet, but you're on your way. I think he only heard the back half. Well, no, maybe it was the front part. It was, hey, you remind me of Calvin Johnson. You're not there yet, but you're on your way. Yes, Todd.
But why say anything before the game, whether it's construed accurately or misconstrued? You know, he doesn't need any extra bulletin board material to rile the guy up. He's already one of the best receivers in the league. It's
comment. No, hold on. Do you think that Jim Schwartz goes, where's DK Metcalf?
He's got a little edge to him, that guy. He's got a past. You know, he stirs things up. I'm not sure what was behind that. He thought maybe he can get in his head. I don't know if that was completely some compliment. I don't know if DK completely was wrong in taking that as, you're comparing me to your old Calvin Johnson guy.
Oh,
the
come on.
I wouldn't put it past him that he thinks he can get in his head. That's what coaches and players
so
do.
So freaking soft. What are you talking about?
Why talk to anybody on the other team before the game?
Respect he had for him. He went and sought him out, apparently, and said, hey, I was in Detroit with Calvin Johnson. You remind me of him. You're not there yet, on your way.
Send him an email.
Oh, my God.
You don't got to tell them that right before the game. Talk to your own player.
I think this is such a phony story. I think that DK Metcalf, if you want to use... DK Metcalf went out of his way to tell this story. Because the question had nothing to do with this. But this is something that was on DK Metcalf's mind, and it was truly bothering him. You know, I can, you know, criticize Jim Schwartz on a variety of fronts, but not this. I thought he was just saying, hey... Yeah, I was there. I was with Calvin Johnson. You remind me of him. You're not there yet, but you're on your way. He is on his way. He's not there yet. Yes, Paulie.
If I'm the next defensive coordinator faces DK Metcalf, I go to him before the game. You're like Jerry Rice and Larry Fitzgerald. And one, you should really pace yourself and not overdo it and really think about your team in the playoffs, not put too much into this game. Good luck, buddy.
Yes, Seton.
Not that I agree with what Todd just said, but Jim Schwartz does seem like the kind of guy who can put his foot in his mouth.
Well, I said that I could be critical of Jim Schwartz. Not here. It doesn't seem like he's going, are the Eagles that desperate? Like, this is, you know how we're going to get to him? Hey, Doug Peterson, I'm going to go over to DK Metcalf and say that he's, reminds me of Calvin Johnson. He's not there yet, but he's on his way. Yeah, that'll do it. Then we'll win the game.
Yeah, that's really going to get him mad when you compare him to a future Hall of Famer. Yeah. Man, he's really going to be so mad.
If somebody says, you're not Bob Costas, but you're on your way, I don't go, I cannot believe that.
Well.
Now, I would take that as the ultimate compliment if you said you're not Bob, but you're on your way.
Oh, you would harbor that for years.
Oh, there's no way. That'd be the
Do
ultimate
you know
compliment.
That you, every morning when we see you, we would hear, well, I'm no Bob Costas.
Well, I would joke about it.
I'm on my way.
But I'll never be Bob Costas. But if somebody said, hey, you're on your way, I'd say, well, thank you. Yes, and I hope to be better than him. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, I agree with Todd and seeing complete. Jim Schwartz is a lunatic. His version of this story is not what happened. He definitely said something to DK. Has he ever not said something like this? Find me one quote from Jim Schwartz that's not controversial.
Okay, but if you're going to say it, then you go, I can't believe people think you're Megatron. I was with Megatron. You're no Megatron. Like, then, right? Then it works. Then I know you're trying to get under his skin. Yes, McLovin.
Bottom line is you don't believe in bulletin board material and ironically use bulletin board material to catapult your entire career.
Yes, Todd.
I mean, if someone made that Costas remark to you, at least if I was you, I'd be like, well, do I walk around acting like I think I'm Bob Costas? Like, why are you even making that comparison with me? Like, you don't walk around with this arrogant kind of thing that you think you're Bob Costas. So why does that comment even have to be made? DK Metcalf could easily take that as, do I walk around like who I think I am, that I'm the best ever? I'm Calvin Johnson.
I have no idea what Todd just said.
Todd, first of all, I don't know what the hell you just said. Second of all, you're the most sensitive guy I've ever known. So you shouldn't be involved in this conversation. Okay? Even when I say, hey, good show, and you go,
what do you mean good,
good?
Show?
Yeah, I know. So,
that was a great show. That's good?
Exactly. You're not the right guy to be commenting on this. Hey, you're a good booker. Good. You're one of the best bookers. You're not Scott Shapiro. But you're on your way. How would you take that, Todd?
All right, I'm on my way. I would have the chip on my shoulder.
No, I know.
It's like booking every guest and fill up every segment, whether you wanted the guest or not.
Well, let's try it.
We'll give it a shot.
All right. Ron Jaworski will join us coming up here. It's 22 after the hour. We'll settle on a poll question, a couple of stats of the day coming up as well, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. Todd was so proud this morning. I said, what are you smiling about? He goes, Built Bar. I go, yeah, what about it? I had one. I said, oh my gosh, you got a Built Bar.
I hadn't had one before. Coconut almond. It's fabulous.
Yeah? Well, we've had it for like 2 weeks now.
I know. I guess I was trying to show some kind of restraint or something, but it's low in calorie and it's got protein and everything. So you can have one without feeling guilty. So I don't know what took me so long to give it a shot.
You haven't had breakfast in a couple of years here.
It's been quite a while.
Right? All right. Well, I'm glad you tried the Built Bar. Everybody else should, but don't wait as long as Todd did.
Do not.
Built Bar, 130 calories, guilt-free, 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs, guilt-free. And it's a protein bar, but it certainly doesn't taste that way. 18 flavors. Which one do you have?
I have coconut almond.
Coconut almond. Mint brownie's great as well. You're going to love it. Best part is it's a protein bar. It's actually healthy for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code DP. You get 20% off your order. Promo code is DP at BuiltBar.com. You are welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Sunday night, the Denver Broncos. Who knows who's going to be the quarterback? Head to Kansas City. We know who will be the quarterback to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. AFC West showdown Sunday night, 7 Eastern only on NBC. Who's going to quarterback your Broncos, Todd?
That's a fantastic question. Does Elway have anything left? Can't hurt. If he's in shotgun and he gets rid of it right away, he just hands it off.
Let's bring in Ron Jaworski, the former Eagles quarterback. He was in the booth last night, Monday Night Football, between the Seahawks and Eagles alongside Kevin Harlan. How's the arm? When's the last time you threw like a really hard 20-yard pass, Jaws?
Probably about 5 years ago. I haven't thrown a meaningful pass in about 30 years, but I could probably play arena football in that short field.
All right. Explain to me what the headline should be after the Eagles lost last night or the Seattle Seahawks win over the Eagles. What should the headline be?
It depends what city you're in. In Philadelphia, the headlines are not pretty. The fan base, as you know, in this town is a very passionate town. They are very, very upset. Yesterday, there was a lot lot of chatter in the city of Philadelphia about who the quarterback was going to be. Jeffrey Lurie was chiming in. Howie Rosen seemed to be chiming in. Doug Peterson deflecting the questions. You know, when you're a struggling football team and you have a struggling quarterback, it's hard. It is really hard. I've been through it personally. Now Carson Wentz has to work his way through it somehow, some way. He has too much talent to be playing like he's playing right now.
I was wondering, though, Jaws, do you sit him down and just let him kind of absorb it from a different perspective as opposed to just going back out there and it feels like you get into bad habits or your confidence level starts to be depleted? And I know Jalen Hurts isn't ready for this, but I got to think long term about Carson Wentz. How do you preserve him in a situation like this?
Yeah, as you know, Dan, I look at every game on the coach's tape and evaluate that position about as much as anybody. And this has been a really difficult one to figure out. What is wrong with Carson Wentz? Is it mechanical? Is it cerebral? Is it mental? Is it the offensive line? Is it the wide receivers? Is it the play calling? Is it the analytics? I really can't put my finger on it. It's kind of puzzling to me because Carson Wentz has enormous talent. He's got a rocket arm. He could run. He's powerful. He's big. He's strong. If I would boil it down, I would say he's not seeing the field with clarity. He made some throws yesterday that were kind of head scratchers as well. And it's been that way all season long. He has not played through 11 games, a solid game at quarterback. And in the National Football League, this is obviously a quarterback-driven game. Your quarterback must play to a high level to win football games. Now, I'm not going to blame it all on him. I don't like Jalen Hurts coming in for one or two snaps a game. I went through that back in the day with Randall Cunningham, where I would come out on 3rd and 7 or more, and Randall would come in. And it just breaks down the whole consistency of playing the quarterback position, I think, for the team as well as the individual. But, hey, the Eagles have chosen to go that way. Why, I don't know. But I thought we would see more Jalen Hurts after the Eagles went 0-for-5 on their first three possessions, 3 and outs.
Yeah, I did too. I just thought, you know, either put him in or don't put him in. Like, you sort of put him in, then you take him out. And yeah, as you know, it's all about rhythm. You get that rhythm going. Offense gets the rhythm. You get confidence there. But they don't have any of that. Would you start Jalen Hurts?
There's a reason Jalen Hurts is not starting. He's not good enough. Not that he won't be someday, but with this pandemic that we're all dealing with right now, COVID-19, there was no offseason. Those are important. There was no training camp. That's important. There were no preseason games to develop a young quarterback. That's important. I think it would be a disservice to Jalen Hurts to put him out there. The number one goal of the head coach and the team is to win. You want to put the best players on the field that give you the best chance to win. Apparently, from the coaching staff and Doug Peterson, Jalen Hurts is not ready to step in. You know, you could damage a young quarterback for his whole career. And I always think of a guy that always comes to my mind, Patrick Ramsey, who I thought had enormous talent with the Washington football team now. But he got beat up so bad, they were losing, and he never recovered from that. So this is a football team right now in Philly that's in a transition phase. This is not a team that's going to compete, you know, for the playoffs or a Super Bowl for a number of years right now. This team needs to be retooled. Now, the question then now is you have to ask Doug Peterson, who are you going to retool with? Ask Howie Roseman. You know, ask Jeffrey Lurie, who are you going to retool with? Who's your quarterback going to be? Who's the guy you're going to hang your hat on for this next 3 to 5 years?
Who's more likely to be back next year, the coach or the quarterback?
They'll both be back. I just think it's so unfair to evaluate coaches, front office people, you know, the Matt Patricias, the Bill O'Briens, the Dan Quinns. These guys got fired. I mean, and football is a game of creatures of habit. You keep doing the same thing over and over again. And that's been the farthest thing from this season. So these coaches are being held accountable for things that are out of their control. How would you like to be Vic Fangio on Sunday? And running out a football team where your quarterback hasn't played in 2 years and it was in college, and you expect to beat the New Orleans Saints, that's not fair to coaches. That's not fair to a football team. And I heard you talking earlier, this is not fair the way this season is playing out.
We're talking to Ron Jaworski, the former Eagles quarterback working for Westwood One and was on the broadcast call with Kevin Harlan last night. What did you think of Seattle?
I think they're a good football team that has a chance to be a really good football team. Russell Wilson is such a catalyst for them offensively. And Jamal Adams, I'm telling you, I open the telecast with, if you're watching this game, and when Carson Wentz breaks from the huddle, he should locate number 33. That's the guy that really is going to dictate the tempo of the game. He blitzes about 24% of the time. He's going to be the catalyst for that football team. When you think of, you know, Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and the Legion of Doom in Seattle, Jamal Adams brings that to this football team. And Carlos Dunlap, a midseason acquisition, has given them that edge rusher that they need. So they're getting better. But how about DK Metcalf? This guy is he's unbelievable. And I still don't understand Darius Slay shadowing him every single play. Jim Schwartz, please mix it up a little bit. I mean, you know what you got. He's getting beat for 177 yards. Go to some zone. Go to some double teams. Do something a little bit different. It didn't seem they did.
I want to play this for you because DK Metcalf after the game talked about Jim Schwartz comparing him to Calvin Johnson. I want you to hear it, and then I want you to translate here for us, Jaws. Here's DK Metcalf.
What's your mindset going into a game when you know or when you feel like you're going to see a lot of opposing team's number one cornerback? What's your mindset going into it?
I'm happy. I'm getting a little respect, but, you know, I still got work to do. One of the defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, you know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
All right. Interpret this. What was Jim? What was Jim Schwartz trying to compliment DK Metcalf?
Yes, I believe so. I don't think he was over there to be antagonistic to him. I think he has great respect for him. And certainly Megatron was a great player, and Jim Schwartz was in Detroit when he was there, so he's very familiar with them. And they are both elite athletes. You know, Megatron was, and certainly not DK Metcalf. And Dan, you've been around this game long enough. You know what goes on pregame. You know, these coaches are out there with their business cards in their pocket because a lot of them are going to get fired. And they're renewing old acquaintances with other teams. And he probably ran into DK and Price said, I don't see it as inflammatory. I don't see Jim as that kind of guy. He could be quirky occasionally, but he's never been that kind of guy. He's usually very social before the game.
I thought it was a compliment because DK Metcalf is not Calvin Johnson. He reminds me a little bit more of T.O. than Calvin Johnson, but it's still a compliment. When I say, hey, but you're on your way. Yeah. He's only been in the league a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, if someone came up to me pregame and said, hey, Jaws, you look like Joe Namath, I'd be like really happy. You know? I go, wow, that's a real compliment, you know.
Yeah, but if they said you look like him, you didn't play like him, but you just look like him.
Yeah, I get it.
Did you cross paths with Namath?
Oh yeah, yeah. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, a suburb called Lackawanna, and I was a Buffalo Bills season ticket holder. And those are the old AFL days, the Bills and the Jets at that time. And you know, I went to a game, and in those days you could literally walk right on the field or about 5 yards from the field. And Joe Namath was warming up in the end zone. And I remember seeing old number 12 there just spinning it. I'm going there, I could do that. I could do that. So it kind of gave me some motivation to want to work hard at my craft.
But also, Namath threw an effortless ball. And he had those real small shoulder pads, but yep. He threw a beautiful deep ball. I don't know what the difference is. Like, what is that, Jaws, where Warren Moon threw maybe the best deep ball I've ever seen. Jeff George threw a great deep ball. But what is it about that ability?
Dan, throw this guy in there. Jeff Blake, I thought, for a number of years, the Bengals, one of the best deep ball throwers in the game. Some guys, you know, Russell Wilson right now throws that high arcing rainbow that drops down the chimney, you know, right into receiver's hands. So it's getting on those deep balls. You got to get the nose up and a good trajectory on the football. And some guys just have that art, you know, and usually power throwers. And quite honestly, that's what I was as a player. And I see a lot of guys. Power throwers have a tougher time with that deep, high arcing throw because they're so used to firing these, you know, bullets in there to between linebackers and safeties and secondary players. So it's harder to develop that deep, high arcing throw.
Well, speaking of the deep ball, Tom Brady and that offense in Tampa Bay, are they running the right offense for Brady's skill set?
Yes, I'm bewildered by some of the comments that I, you know, that I hear from other people. And again, I base a lot of, you know, my feeling on this screen that I have right back there, and I watch all the, you know, the coaching tape on that screen. And Tom Brady is still playing at a very high level. It's going to take some time to assimilate into this offense, and it's a different style of offense. But Tom Brady eventually will get this, and they're going to be a force to reckon with. There's a lot of talent right now on that Buccaneer offense. It's going to come together for him.
But why is there this disconnect? Or it feels like there's a little bit of tension there with Arians. And are we creating this, Josh?
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Dan. I think okay. I really think, you know, I think the media just looking for something to talk about. You know, you got Tom Brady. I think everyone thought they were going to go 16-0 because you acquired, you know, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, and all these weapons. Football is the consummate team game. The timing and rhythm of an offense has to be precise and exquisite. It is not right now, but this receiving core down in Tampa is very, very good. They can run the football. I think they're offensive line has to pick their play up somewhat because Tom needs protection. He's a plant, step, and throw guy. He's not going to be mobile and slide and move around the pocket. So he needs help from his offensive line. And it's the defense, by the way, Todd Bowles done a really good job with his defense. I think eventually they get a bye this week. They're going to start coming together. There's way too much talent.
Okay, we were just ripping Jim Schwartz for his defense on DK Metcalf. What the hell was Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers thinking? Single coverage on Tyreek Hill.
I wish I could answer that.
I
have no idea. I mean, he only had 207 yards in the first quarter.
He was pace for a 1,000-yard receiving game, Jaws. 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I agree. I think two of those coverages were blown coverages, by the way. But hey, you know, you still, and look at the dimes that Mahomes threw, though. He you know, there was a couple wide open and a couple great throws. But that's what you get with Patrick Mahomes. That's what you get with Tyreek Hill. That's what you get with Jason Kelce. I mean, there is a wealth of talent on that Chiefs offense. They're going to do that to a lot of people.
Always great to talk to you, Jaws. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. You're the best.
Thank you, buddy. That's Ron Jaworski, former Eagles quarterback, and. Well, I worked with Jaws at the Mothership for a long time. He was on the call last night with the great Kevin Harlan in the Monday night booth. We'll take a break. We got our play of the day coming up. Some interesting stats of the day. McLovin will have a poll question as well. We'll check in with the Ravens coming up next hour. What is next? I don't know if there's any other issues here, but it feels like I don't know if they could they could maybe Wednesday late afternoon. Early evening. Maybe they'd put it on NBCSN. Like, maybe they put it on Peacock. Yeah, Paulie.
As a Bears fan, you could put a couple of our games around 11 o'clock on a Tuesday or 2 o'clock on a Thursday. I don't want to see them.
All right, we'll take a break. Play of the day up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Back goes Wentz one more time. He is firing it high and into the end zone, and it is batted around and caught for a touchdown by Dallas Goedert. A Hail Mary. With 12 seconds left. Richard Rodgers.
Eagles needed a two-point conversion that followed to cover the 6.5-point spread. That would be a bad beat. You know, we always focus on the bad beat. What about the guy who won in a situation like that? It's always an unbelievable win. We always talk about the bad beat. Gamblers usually only talk about their wins. You know, I would be like Floyd Mayweather. If you know, Floyd never lost a bet, apparently, and I would be betting all the time, and somebody'd say, hey, how'd you do? Yeah, another win this weekend. Meanwhile, I would lose on Saturday, load up on Sunday, and then have to load up on Monday to get all my money back. And that's not a good philosophy when it comes to betting. But the two-point conversion and analytics thing that more teams are doing when scoring a touchdown, 14 points, down 14 or more in a game, going for two increases the team's chances of winning. Chances of converting at least one of the two-point conversions is greater than failing twice in two tries, according to the analytics. That's courtesy of WIP, the Eagles Radio Network. Play of the day brought to you by 1-800-Flowers. This year being home for the holidays, taking on a whole new meaning. But with 1-800-Flowers, you can still celebrate the season with Christmas flower arrangements and more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. You see the radio icon, enter code Patrick, and you are good to go. Yeah, that's one of those. And I was wondering about this with Carson Wentz. Even with the Hail Mary pass, Carson Wentz finished with a passer rating of 73.8. That's below average. If I take that completion out, he was 24-44, 182 yards, one touchdown, one INT, a 62.9 quarterback rating. That's not good. All right, McLovin, you got a poll question for me today.
Yeah, we have a couple options for you. Okay, we're going to start very negative. Which team is in the worst situation quarterback-wise? Obviously, we'll start with the Eagles, the team of the day, Washington football team, Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, or Denver Broncos. And we can add options. Those are, Paulie actually listed those to start with.
All right. Yes, Paulie.
I'm going to suggest the Bears being one of the worst, not only because Foles isn't really the answer, Trubisky's not the answer, and they're not going to keep him, but also because they won five games to start the year, their draft pick's going to be around 12. And so they're not going to be really in the mix to get a great quarterback this year. So they're going nowhere at the position.
All right. Let's see. Washington, I like Ron Rivera, but you got to get your quarterback. And Alex Smith is not your quarterback of the future. And I don't think Dwayne Haskins is either. Eagles situation, you do have your quarterback. You have a couple of quarterbacks of the future, apparently. And Jalen Hurts is not ready right now. And you got $100 million wrapped up in Carson Wentz. The Bears... got to find a quarterback, you know. And you can probably say this again next year and then the year after that and year after that and year after that. The Lions, I don't know who you're bringing in. Who's your head coach? And the Lions had the 9th pick overall. They had their chance with Tua. They would have, you know, had to have Matthew Stafford there for one more year. I think you got to get out from underneath Matthew Stafford's contract. He gets paid as a marquee quarterback. He doesn't perform like one as far as, you know, team results there. The Jags have the 2nd pick right now. I don't know who their head coach is going to be. Denver can't settle on a quarterback. I mean, I might look at the worst situation. It feels like the Eagles are if they aren't sold on Carson Wentz. And you can't bench him because it's $100 million. And your rebuild is going to take a couple of years. And then Carson Wentz is going to be at the end of that next contract. And then what do you have? And then is Jalen Hurts still on the team? Like... and the expectation level also factors in. Eagle fans expect greatness. You know, Washington, they would take goodness right now. The Bears fans would take goodness, like an offense that you can respect. The Lions would take goodness. The Jags would take goodness. Even the Broncos, the once proud Broncos, would take goodness. They're not even looking for greatness. And the Jets have the number one pick overall. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you put the Jets on this list? Even though they're going to have the number one overall pick and they're going to draft what they think is a franchise quarterback, even though they just drafted what they thought was their franchise quarterback, it's not really a great situation.
Well, I want to know who the head coach is. And if you're getting Trevor Lawrence and I get somebody who is an offensive-minded head coach, you know, Adam Gase was supposed to be an offensive-minded head coach, but you'd never know that. I think that the Jets right now... I would not put them in the worst quarterbacking situation right now because they're going to get Trevor Lawrence. Somebody's going to get Sam Darnold. Like, there's a few quarterbacks that are going to be available and might be a great pickup. Matthew Stafford, is Matt Ryan going to be available? Like, there's a few of them out there. We'll take a break. We got 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go. We'll check in on the Ravens situation. That'll be coming up. And we'll get to your phone calls as well.